is Benjamin Treitler interviewing Luis Mibera on November 3rd, 2001. So if you could tell me a little bit about your background and how you got to Lincoln Place.
Okay, I was born 1957, May the 6th. Mm-hmm. And my parents came from Mexico. My dad came here in 1924. My mom married my dad in 1951, I think. And I've been a Grand City resident all my life. So the family's been here since 1924.
Were you born in did you grow up in this house?
Yes, I did. Matter of fact, I grew up, this is 1607 Maple. I grew up here and I moved away for a while, a few years with my brother, and I got married in 1993. And been living here since.
The same house that you...
Same house that I was born in, or more or less.
Okay. Now, you said that your grandfather came here in 1924.
My father.
Oh, your father did. Your father came. Why did he leave Mexico?
Well, there was a little trouble. The revolution was going on in Mexico, and my grandfather... There was some trouble with either a general or some high-ranking officer in the Mexican military that wanted a price on his head, per se, you know, and he had to leave. He was given, he found out about that through the high-ranking official's wife, who was a friend of my grandmother, who said that his name is on the list to get hung. So he fled Mexico.
Do you know why his name was on that list?
No, I don't. I really don't. Maybe my older brothers and sisters might know, but I don't know.
No, so is that how your parents met?
No. My father came here, like I said, in 1924, and he married a girl from around this area, which isn't my mother. So he was married before he met my mother. And... 19, I don't know when they got divorced. I really don't. But he married my mother in 1951.
How did he meet your mother?
My mother was friends of his cousin in Mexico. So through the cousins they met.
So they knew each other for a while before he left Mexico?
No, because there was like 18, there was 18 years difference in ages, my father and my mother. So when he would go back to Mexico on whenever vacations or whatever, after he became a citizen here, he'd go to his cousin's house, and my mom knew his cousin, you know, as a friend, and that's where he met my mom.
And then they even got married in Mexico and moved up
yes,
to...
Yes, yes.
And he liked the area, so he brought her back up to here.
Yeah, he worked at the American Steel in Grand City for 46 years.
What did he do there?
He was a craneman.
What is that?
Craneman is whatever they make. I think they was making wheel train, the bottoms for train wheels or something like that. The craneman would pick up molten steel, 50 tons of molten steel, and pour it into a mold, which was an important job to American Steel. Because in when World War II broke out, he was drafted, and the American Steel, I don't know if they fought it or rejected it, but he got drafted 5 times, and they said that they only had like 4 cranemen, 3 or 4 cranemen at the time that can do the job, because all the men were gone, just none of the women in the plant. So they said that he would serve his country better operating the crane than going into service.
Okay. Was he a craneman the entire time he worked there?
He was a laborer at first, and he worked his way up to the craneman. Yeah.
Did he ever talk to you, or did you ever know growing up how much money he made, or if it was not like specifically, but like, well, when you were growing up, living with on your father's income, was he enough to support the whole family?
Yeah, it was enough to support the whole family. I mean, we had a car, I mean, a used car, nothing.
was that uncommon for the neighborhood, or?
A lot of families didn't have a car when I grew up around there.
So then he probably made...
He made a decent living. I mean, you know, I mean, I can remember times when Christmas was sort of sparse, or whatever the word you want to use, you know.
Did your mother work?
No, she was a housewife.
So, did she socialize a lot with the other mothers?
Not really, just with family.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I've got, there's eight of us all together. Well, one sister died. Let's see, my father had five children before he met my mother. And after he married my mother, there was three of us.
So, living in this house, there were three kids and two adults?
When I was growing up?
Yeah.
Actually, there was two brothers from previous marriage, myself, a sister, and a younger brother.
So, five kids and two adults?
Mm-hmm. In a shotgun house. Two bedrooms.
And then, so your dad obviously then made more than everyone else. If you guys had five kids and a car, and a lot of people didn't have...
Well, like I said, it was a new car, it was a used car. But there was families that didn't have a car, period. And I can remember a time that we didn't have a car, too. So.
When your mom was home, what would she do when she was home all day?
She would cook and wash clothes, just normal housewife things, you know.
What kind of food would she cook?
Mexican food.
Like?
Beans, tortillas. She made great tortillas. You know? Yeah. She don't make them no more because she's old and she can't really, her arthritis bothers, but she did make some really good tortillas, enchiladas, tacos, pozole, which is hominy. I don't know if you ever heard of hominy. Yeah.
Corn or flour tortillas?
Just flour. She didn't like corn. Yeah. I like corn.
It's more work to make the corn ones. Really.
Yeah?
Unless
you cheat and go to the store and buy the flour.
Yeah. You're grinding corn by your
hand. Yeah, grinding corn. That'd be the hard way to do it.
Now, did she ever, coming from Mexico, and she was 18 years younger, did she ever feel like out of place?
That I wouldn't know. That I wouldn't mind. I mean, I didn't never sense that.
So she always seemed like a normal family?
Yeah.
Now, do you know any information about your family before, like, from Mexico?
Yeah. A little bit. I knew that my grandfather had like a cattle ranch, sort of, you know, I don't remember how many acres, a lot of acres, but it was considered wealthy in Mexico, mm-hmm. my grandparents. It wasn't the common, Mexico was poor to begin with, but, you know, back then it was worse, you know, because of the new revolution.
Okay. Now, growing up in this house, where did you go to school?
I went to St. Joseph School. It's a Catholic school.
Where?
For 8 years.
Where's that?
It's on Edison. I don't know the address. It's on Edison Street in Grand City. It's no longer a school.
What is it now?
I think it's Catholic Charities or something like that.
Did your siblings also go to the
yes.
same school?
Yeah.
So, was there's a public school there. There was a public school at the time, right?
There was a public school in West Granite called Washington School. I did go to kindergarten there.
Why did your parents put you in the Catholic school?
To grow up with a Catholic education, you know, background. You know.
Did they not like the public school? It was too far?
Actually, St. Joseph was farther. Really? You know, St. Joseph was 3/4 mile, where Washington was a half a mile.
How did you get to school?
They drive us to school. My father or my older sister, when he wasn't working, he worked swing shift.
So what was your life like when you were growing up as a kid, living in this house, like after school?
After school? I'd come home and watch the Three Stooges. And then after that was over, we'd go out to the corner, which we call the clubhouse. It's the community center on Newton House. We just play and hang around there.
What would you, like, play? What would you guys do?
We got a gymnasium. We'd play basketball. Or out in the back, we'd play baseball. Down the street on Olive, here I'm going to go point again. On Olive Street, there used to be a ball diamond there. We'd play baseball there, too.
Okay. Now, were there a lot of kids growing up around
this?
Yes,
there was. A lot more than now, I think.
I know that there are quite a few different ethnic groups here. Was the neighborhood, like, integrated, like, or were some streets all Macedonian?
No, it was all mixed. All mixed. I mean, across the street was Hungarian people that we grew up with. Matter of fact, Phillips, I don't know if you remember hearing his name. He played for the Boston Celtics, Andrew Phillips.
He was across the street?
Mm-hmm.
Was he the same age as you?
No, he died, I think this summer. He's probably about 70 years old. You know.
So he was older than
you.
Now, being an entirely immigrant neighborhood, did you ever leave the neighborhood? When we took a walking tour of the neighborhood, we learned that there were a lot of different bakeries and shops all up and down Niedringhausen, because most of the people didn't have cars, and they were used to walking everywhere and just being a real close neighborhood, and a lot of them wouldn't leave the neighborhood.
Right.
Did you leave the neighborhood a lot?
Not really. I mean, you know, when my dad came here, he didn't have a car. You know, he didn't get a car probably till the late 40s, early 50s, I guess. And, like you said, that all the bakeries and everything was here in Lincoln Place, on Needham House. When I was little, I can barely remember a bakery. Just a faint memory of a bakery being on Needham House, on the corner.
So those are all taken down?
Well, no, not necessarily, because I remember there was a restaurant called the International Restaurant. I think it was a Hungarian owner who owned it. There was a laundromat. There was two hotels. At one time, we had three confectionaries in Lincoln Place. Stores, not just confectionaries, a store, I guess.
How was that as a kid? The three candy stores and the...
I'll take it back. Four.
Four candy stores?
Four. Two of them was had groceries and everything. The other one was like a confectionery.
Which is like all candy, pretty much?
Well, we'd call it confectionery, but they had canned goods and stuff also.
Oh, okay. Now, so when you did leave the neighborhood, what was it? What would it be for?
Either to go to the show downtown, Grand City, or to Woolworths.
There wasn't anything like that. There wasn't a movie theater in Lincoln Place.
There was in the 20s and 30s. There was one. My dad spoke of one, but when I grew up, never knew that there was one.
Oh. So how did the other kids get along? How did all the kids get along? How did the neighborhood kids get along with each other?
We got along good. I mean, you know, it was like kids from West Granite would come, and, you know, it would be like a little battle. You know, it was a little rivalry between the West Granites and the Lincoln Place. But you know, we got along good. You know, we'd take care of all of them. We'd play baseball and stuff. You know, football.
Any major... You're going to find, you know, rivalries and fights in every group of people. Would you see that more here, less here?
I would say less myself. I mean, I can remember times, you know, we get mad at someone who was an Armenian and say, hey, well, you this and that Armenian or whatever. But, you know, the next day we'd be saying, come on, let's go to Blubby's and get a soda. Blubby's is a pool hall on the main drag of Needham House. So, you know, no, we'd fight, but the next day everybody would be friends.
So everyone it was a real tight knit.
Yeah, it was a tight knit. Like I said, everybody from Lincoln Place, when you go out of the neighborhood and someone say, hey, you're from Lincoln Place, and it was just like you met a friend, even if you didn't even know him.
And this was not just kids your own age, but like...
Everybody.
And you said that you didn't like the West Granite city.
Yeah, West Granite is a different breed, you know. There wasn't much that I know of immigrants there. There might have been, but as far as I know, no. I never heard that.
Now, what did, when you guys would interact, how did that, like, what would happen?
Fights, a lot of fights.
Were there any murders? racial or like anti-immigrant or anti-specific?
There was some of that. You call it spics and all that.
Do you think that was, why do you think that was?
I don't know.
Do you think it was because you guys...
There's something to say, you know.
That it was like you guys were a different neighborhood, plus you were...
I don't think they liked our tight-knitness we had, the liquor place had. I think they didn't like that.
You think that the other neighborhood was just more... I guess we're in the same neighborhood kind of atmosphere?
Maybe, yeah. I just think that I think they was jealous of that.
Yeah.
Because they weren't as tight.
Like, you knew all these kids, but you went to the Catholic school. Did a lot of the kids go to the Catholic school?
Some did. There's a lot of families. A lot of families that went to the Catholic schools.
And some, though, went to the public school, too, right?
Yeah. And that's good friends of ours that we went to public school also.
And it didn't make a difference who went where. Sometimes you hear about recent things where kids get taunted or picked on because they don't go to the right school, or they don't wear the right clothes, or they're not, their shoes aren't the greatest. Did you ever see anything like that growing up?
Not really. I can't think of an incident at all.
And it didn't, like you said, it didn't make a difference where the kids are from, as long as they're from Lincoln Place, you were friends with them?
Mm-hmm. Everything seemed to flow back then, It ain't like that now.
You chose to come back, or to
stay here.
Stay in Lincoln Place in the same house. Why?
Yeah. Okay, when my wife and I got married, my dad gave us this house. He had a heart condition, so my sister took him to live with them. They lived directly behind us on Olive Street, and he lived with them, and I wanted to stay near him because he was sick,
Mm-hmm.
And make sure he takes all his medicines and all that.
So that's why it started out as a care?
More or less, yeah. I wasn't there constantly with him, but I'd make sure he had all his pills that he needed, and I'd take him to the doctor and all that.
But you started living in this house again as a necessity?
As a necessity, because we had nowhere to live. He gave us this house.
And then now I see that you have kids.
Mm-hmm.
You chose to have kids in this neighborhood because,
it's more economics than anything else, probably, because we put a lot of money into this. It used to be a shotgun house. We added another room in the back, two rooms, matter of fact. We gutted the whole thing and put a new roof. We got a lot of money in it, so that's another reason we're staying here.
When you were growing up, did you think the neighborhood was safe?
Yeah.
You could go the two or three blocks to Nijun House and hang out with your friends?
Yes, we can.
Never any problems?
Yeah.
Do you think that's the same way today?
Not really.
What do you think?
To me, now, I don't know the generation there, but to me, the kids are just more, word to use, or so they don't really respect nothing,
Do you think these are there a lot of people who are like you, second generation Lincoln Place residents? Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were
question. Well, this is a 2-part question.
Okay.
And do they, like, so this neighborhood's like, some of them are second generation, some of them are new people in the neighborhood. Do you think those are the people that are causing
Lincoln Place is running down bad, It's running down, and when you get nothing but run down houses, you're gonna get people that can't afford housing, and usually, nine out of 10 times are the people that's gonna be troublemakers and drugs and, whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's my opinion,
That's what I was getting at. Like, the people who have lived here their whole lives, like you, their kids, you don't think are the problem.
No, it's the newer ones.
The new arrivals.
Right.
Do you think that there's a, is your sentence run down, do you think there's a way to revitalize the neighborhood?
I guess by not leaving Lincoln Place, you know. You know, I bought the property next door from my brother-in-law, and we're, you know, trying to make things look nice, and there's a lot of people that's trying to rejuvenate their, the looks of their house and all that, and that helps, I think, you know, but when you get people that don't care with the drugs and, you know, and we had at one time a little gang trouble.
Oh, know, really?
And there's probably gangs right now that I don't know about.
Now, we took the walking tour of the neighborhood, oh, pretty much Nugent mm-hmm. House up and down, and there are a bunch of abandoned buildings.
That attracts gangs right there.
Yeah, and other, like, just...
Did you see the graffiti that they put on there?
There was graffiti, okay, too. Yeah. Now, some historians would say, well, this is a historical place because it was, at one time, you know, something important, and now it's run down. But it should stay up.
No, well, I don't agree with that. I agree if it's abandoned and it's an eyesore, just take it down. It's attracting kids to do mischief, you know, be mischievous, you know.
Do you have any like ideas? Now you said that you've built up your house. You're trying to make the neighborhood nicer with your families
mm-hmm.
living here. You said other people are doing things too.
There are other people.
Like what are other people doing?
They're putting signs across the street. The guy, he redid that house. It was an eyesore. He redid it. The guy in the corner of across the street from us, same thing. Lay across, same thing. You know, everybody's slowly putting money into it, and you know that it can happen if you know everybody does it. You know.
Do you think that if the neighborhoods get like the houses get nicer, the it'll attract more businesses?
You know what I think might happen, and I hope it does, I guess what they call it, the edge, the river's edge,
sure.
The Army Depot.
Oh.
They opened up a new golf course there. That might stimulate, you know, people into putting money in their houses to make it worth more.
Because of that, it's right across the street, it's right across...
The highway, Route 3.
Route 3 from Lincoln Place. Yeah. Now, what did that used to be an Army Depot?
Mm-hmm.
What would go on there?
I don't know. When I was a kid, they used to have soldiers there. I know that.
And now it's just a...
It's more or less, it turned into like an Army warehouse. I can remember them bringing helicopters all shot up and beat up when Vietnam was going on.
And now it's like a commercial park.
Yeah, commercial.
Area with a golf course. Now, on the Eugene House, where it used to have all the different shops, the locations are still there. There are still some buildings that are, I mean, there's abandoned buildings and buildings that are still occupied. So it's not all houses anymore. Do you think, would you be in favor of having businesses come back onto the...
Very much in favor. I can't think of the girl's name. I think it's Whitaker, maybe. I don't know. She just opened up a restaurant on Needham House. Used to be a duplex house. And she revitalized it and put money into it. Really did a good job, you know.
What kind
stuff
of
like that's good. You know?
What else would you like? What other kind of businesses would you like to see?
Whatever they can bring, whoever can afford it. I like to see a convenience store.
Convenience store.
Yeah, with gasoline, you know, like 7-Eleven or Hucks or something.
Something with a gas station and
yeah.
A convenience store.
Yeah.
You said that when you were growing up, there was like laundromats.
Laundromat.
Well, convenience stores, I guess. They didn't have those.
Mom-and-pop stores, you know.
There are a couple bars on the street.
There's three left.
Three. Was that something that's, you'd want to see more of, less of? Does
mm-hmm.
that make a difference?
No, not really. As long as they're, you know, not causing no trouble, I don't see nothing wrong with it.
So, do you think if they put...
In fact, I know all the three owners, so, you know, more power to them if they can make money.
Yeah. Do you think that, I'm just trying to think of other businesses that could go there.
Yeah.
Because, like, what you were talking about when you were growing up, how the stores would have canned goods and stuff like that. Well, that's all been replaced by convenience stores.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you put a convenience store, that kind of takes care of all those
little
things.
Little mom-and-pop stores, yeah. It's hard to say, you know.
But you would, you'd like to see this neighborhood back to how it was when you were growing up.
Yeah, sure would.
You have a lot of pride in this neighborhood?
I would say so.
Is that one of the reasons why you didn't leave?
That, you know, that's another reason, yeah. I mean, the main reason was my father, but right. Yeah, that's a, you know, I could sure say that.
But do you think that other people in the neighborhood have, feel the same way you do?
I know there's a lot of people feel the same way I do because I've talked to them, yeah.
Is there any kind of organization with the neighborhood?
At one time, somebody had something to revitalize Lincoln Place, and I'm trying to think who had it. I think it's Kathy Andrea or somebody named Andrea.
The community center is right down the street. Do people congregate there at all, or is that?
Yeah, the young kids congregate there, which is good. You know, that's good for them to do that. Because I used to do that.
But there's no place where the adults can get together, though.
I guess they can go there.
There isn't anything to.
No, nothing that attracts them there. No.
Do you think that if there was something, that people would show up?
Yeah, I should.
So if there was
a coffee house, maybe, I don't know.
A coffee house? Yeah. Do you think people would?
Could be, I don't know.
When we took the tour of Lincoln Place, we learned that there were coffee houses on Lincoln Place that replaced, like, there were bars and coffee houses as another way to have people come in and sit down and spend money. The coffee house, you think, would work here?
Yeah, I think it would.
No, like, coffee house.
Donuts or something, you know.
Is where people like to go and, just sit and talk.
And shoot a fat, yeah.
Do you think that would happen more? People in the neighborhood like to sit and talk? And
yeah, I think they sure do because it's you know, like, we had a yard sale here a few weeks ago, and a lady on Olive came over. We don't even see her once in a blue moon, right? Mm-hmm. And her neighbor, which I've seen her all my life, first time I ever talked to her.
So the neighborhood's got, and you would, if I'm using the wrong words here, but I think you're saying that the neighborhood has a lot of potential. It's, you know, the people are real close, even if they don't know it. Like how you said you met your neighbor, even though you
know her. I've seen her all my life since I was a kid, and this is the first time I ever spoke to her. I mean, I didn't have no reason to before, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
So, you think this neighborhood could be back to its old self?
It's possible. Yeah, I think it's real possible if, you know, more people. You know, when a lot of people moved out, that's when all the other, you know, some of the criminals came in.
When you said a lot of people moved out, was there like a time when pretty much everyone decided to?
No, because it's been happening, and you know, it's an ongoing process. You know.
Do you think? This neighborhood has, I mean, it's got potential, you think, but do you think it has a positive future? I think there's a difference.
Yes, I do. I really do, because, like I said, I'll get back to that river's edge. I think that's going to really make a difference. Because people are going to go golf, and, you know, they're going to go to the nearest, you know, let's go get a beer, let's go get a steak, let's go get some coffee, let's go get some donuts. And if we can cater to that, you know, that's business for us, or whoever.
And then with that business would
stimulate more, yeah.
So did your family ever have a business?
My uncle was a businessman.
What did he have?
He had a few bars, probably about 3 or 4 bars.
Was that in Lincoln Place, or around?
I don't think he had one in Lincoln Place, per se, but I know he had one on Washington Avenue. He had one on 20th and Park. One in Madison. I don't know the location of that one. And one in St. Louis.
Now, I know we're jumping all around here. What do you currently do?
I'm a surveyor for Madison County Highway.
And how have you done that for?
23 years.
Now, how did you? did you choose the job because of the location? What?
My job is, I work in Edwardsville, out of Edwardsville, and I work throughout the whole county. And I didn't choose it. It was more or less handed to me because a guy by the name of Johnny Valencia, who's also in the place, he moved back too, as a matter of fact. And he was in the Air Force, and he had something to do with manpower or something to get jobs for Mexicans or you know, anybody that needed one. And he just happened to call me one day and asked me if I'd work there and if he would do me the favor if I'd work there to at least stay a year to make him look good.
And then you stayed 23 years.
Yeah. So he looks good now.
So then that's an example of how tight-knit Lincoln Place is.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly a good example because when I was going to school, you know, Johnny Winsor was, or is, he's retired now, but he was in the Air Force, and he would look after his own Lincoln Place, his family, but, you know, you go out stepping outside, and you're friends, you know. My dad was a friend of his, and we're all knit, like you said, you know. I guess mainly you could say the Mexicans are closer than together than the Mexicans and the Armenians or the Mexicans and the Hungarians or whatever, but still, we were still friends, you know.
Now, your wife, is she from Lincoln Place?
No, she's from Madison, but her father grew up in Lincoln Place.
Where did what was his name?
His name is Bill Moore. He lives in, I want to say Batchtown. It's not Batchtown. It's up north, 100 miles.
What's that? It's M-O-O-R-E?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you know, did he grow up in Lincoln Place?
Yes, in the, I want to say probably the 40s, I guess.
Did your mom, or your wife wasn't born here, but her father moved out.
Her father moved out, went into the Marines, and when he came back, met a girl from Madison, Joanne, I don't remember her maiden name. I don't remember.
It's not important. Mm-hmm. And then they lived in Madison, and then you met her, and then you came back. Did she ever, what are her thoughts of Lincoln Place?
My wife?
Yeah.
She likes Lincoln Place.
Do you think she...
She don't like the gang problems stuff, you know, because she's a probation officer, and she knows... where all these who's on probation and all that, so she knows, you know, in the neighborhood, she don't like, you know, but she can't do nothing about it, you know.
Well, do you think that you guys can't do something about it?
Well, I mean, sure we can. Sure, we just stay together and keep staying, you know. And
do you think I'm not trying to put you in this position of becoming a neighborhood leader, but it seems like you've got you see Lincoln Place as a place where you want to raise your kids in a safe area. You have ideas on how to make Lincoln Place a better place. Do you think that somebody could organize this neighborhood? You, maybe somebody...
If I had the money, I sure would. You know,
do you think it would take money, or do you think...
It would take money. It would take money. More, you know, everything takes money.
Well, I mean, if you pass out flyers, you know, meeting, a Lincoln Place meeting at the community center. Do you think people would show up?
We did for a while. I mean, there was an organization starting for Lincoln Place, and it just fizzled out.
But there was interest in it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned that Johnny Valencia had lived here, then left, then came back,
mm-hmm.
and you... I lived here, left, and came back. So
I really didn't leave. I mean, I just moved two blocks over, a block over.
Oh, so you would...
I've been here all my life in Lincoln Place.
Oh, so okay.
Out of this house, I meant.
When you... Where did you live in...
On Spruce Street.
Now, okay, so...
I was born on Maple, well, not at the hospital, but I lived on Maple till about 1980-something, late 80s. And then I moved with my brother on Olive until I met my wife, and then we came back.
Okay, I was confused by that. Okay. Do you think a lot of people are moving back in the neighborhood? Or just...
Well, I wouldn't say they're moving back. Well, I know John Valencia and Eddie Asadorian moved back. I can't think of anybody else, really.
So how many people from the original neighborhood, what you would call the original neighborhood, are still left that you still know about?
I don't know. different ages. I know that. My nephew, I got two or three friends that are still in Lincoln Place. My brother, my sister, older people that I don't even know where they live, but I know they're in Lincoln Place, you know.
But has this street, the makeup of the street changed? Are the people that live next to you, the people that live next to you when you're growing up? Or how is this?
The person that lives next to me, his name's Lou Miller, and he's been here, well, his mother died, and he came back to Lincoln Place after she died. So he grew up there, and he came back. He's another person that did.
And across the street, is that the same?
Different people.
How about when you were growing up, like, which houses on the street were, like, the kids' houses that you would hang out in?
Across the street, on the corner, no, not on the corner, Caddy Corner, down the street, a couple houses.
And are all those, most of them are gone?
They're gone, yes.
Do you know why they left?
No, I don't.
They left at all different times, so.
Different times. The Phillips, like I mentioned a while ago, they died. They was old people, they died. And then Andy, the basketball star, moved to California.
While we're talking about your neighbors, we're going to go back to when you were younger. Like, how was the, like, what would happen between neighbors? Like, at night, would you guys all, like, go to each other's houses, adults and kids, or would you mostly stay in your house, or how did that, like?
Depends on the ages, you know, like, when we was younger, my sister lived next door, so we'd go there, and we'd stay there till time to go to sleep, 9 o'clock, when our bedtime was to go to school the next day. But as we got older, we'd hang around at the community center, which we'd call the clubhouse.
Right.
And 10 o'clock was our, well, that's what time they closed, so had to be home at 10 o'clock.
Now how about the adults, when you were a kid, the adults? How would they interact with your parents and each other? Would they...
My dad used to go to the I can't think of the name, ARF Club, it's the Armenian Club down the street. It's an apartment building now. He'd play cards there or go to Sim's place on the corner of Needham House and play cards or pool or something.
What was Sim's place?
It was like a cigar store. It was a pool hall cigar store type of thing.
The club? Just hang out?
It wasn't a club. It was his business, and he lived upstairs. The place right now, it still exists as a beauty salon or something like that.
And how about your mom? Did she interact with other people?
Just like I said, just with family, because she didn't have friends around here, you know, as far as that she grew up with, because she's, you know, she came from Mexico.
So, growing up, did you speak Spanish or English?
I spoke Spanish before I spoke English.
And then, what age did you learn English?
Probably 3 or 4, probably.
With kids from all other countries, did they all speak other languages too?
Not really. Everybody really spoke English by the time I was growing up. It was rare that even friends that's Mexicans, there was like 3 or 4 households that their kids spoke Spanish, and he was one of them. Everybody else was too Americanized.
Spanish and English?
Yes, Spanish, right? And English.
And then, like, the Macedonians didn't speak, or?
To their kids, no. And when I grew up, no. Nobody spoke. Well, the Armenians did. The Armenians spoke to their kids in their language. I do remember that.
And everyone else was just, like, an Americanized?
Right, right. They had been, I guess their parents had been here longer than, you know, like, the Mexicans in the 20s probably came here.
Was there we were talking about the tight-knit of the neighborhood, and then you kind of mentioned that the Mexicans were tighter with the Mexicans.
That's with every group.
Right. Were there a lot of Mexicans in the neighborhood?
There was, yes.
Like on the street, or just the whole neighborhood? Or
the whole neighborhood.
Like, was it I'm not sure, like, was it like a large percentage of the neighborhood? Or is it?
I would say when I was growing up, there was probably the most, I would say, of ethnic groups was probably the largest was the Mexican group, and then Armenians.
And then you?
When I was growing up.
There was never any time of, like, the Mexicans were trying to think of the right, like, the one group doing together as a group, and probably, you know, kids, and making fun of other kids just because of their...
Not when I was growing up.
This was like...
I don't remember that. I know my dad spoke of stuff like that when he first come here. They would never associate with the Armenians or with the Bulgarians or the Hungarians. You know, but then later on, everybody seen, you know, we got to get along.
Well, the reason I mentioned is because this was like in the 60s when you were growing up.
Yeah.
Racial problems in the United States. But
yeah, there was no blacks in Lincoln Place and Granite.
But
man, that's you know, I don't want to say that they're the cause of anything, because it's we're all our ethnic groups have their own opinions or whatever.
Right, but like in the United States in the 19 when you were growing up, it wasn't the you know very racial harmony. You know, it was there were some problems in the United States, but you didn't really see any of that in Lincoln Place.
No, we hear about it. We only thing you heard about was with blacks. That's what, you know, and I'm sure that they had, you know, Mexicans had their problems with each other or the other minorities when they first come here, you know, but when I was growing up, I didn't see none of that.
Do you think that's because there weren't any, well, I don't know what you would call it, but non-immigrants, I guess, in the neighborhood? If the neighborhood's full of immigrants from all different countries. So
there was very few that wasn't that I know of, you know, that I knew of when I was growing up.
I mean, that's why there was the racial harmony that there was in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I would say probably so, because I guess, you know, I don't remember nothing, no fights, no like that, you know, nothing racially.
So do you think that's do you think that's happening today in Lincoln Place? That there's, or do you think that there are racial problems?
I haven't seen none.
So even though the makeup of the neighborhood has changed, do you think that there's still some of the same values from the old Lincoln Place as you remember it?
I'm sure there's still values, you know.
Like,
even though they don't respect them, there's still some that aren't touched, you know.
Do you think that this neighborhood had different values from other Granite City neighborhoods?
As far as...
Well, like, the non-immigrant neighborhoods, let's say that. Like, do you think there were different values, different, like, customs, different things that were...
I only thing I can comment on that is I've seen... What I've seen as far as, you know, respect for your elders and your parents, Lincoln Place had more of that than outside of Lincoln Place. I can truthfully say that, and that I've seen.
Yeah, that's what I was, you know, that's one of the values.
Yeah,
do you think, is that probably because the cultures of the, kind of the...
I don't know. I just know that if you see someone, you know, like myself, my age, or maybe even a little younger, and if they would see an old person that needed assistance, I'm sure everybody would oblige to their assistance. But if, you know, would say, hey, is so-and-so okay? And everybody would inquire about somebody.
So it was a tight neighborhood where everyone cared about each other on all age levels. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
That.
And I'm not sure it wasn't that way in the beginning when my dad came here.
Do you think it was the same or different?
No, I think it was different. I think that when they came here, like I said, I know that he would talk that the Mexicans would stay as a group together, the Bulgarians, the Macedonians, the Armenians, and then later on they got, and you know, they would get together.
Okay, now what do you think changed that from the different immigrant groups sticking together to everyone just kind of becoming one group in Lincoln Place?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I don't know.
Was there a... defining moment, or did everyone just live here long enough that they're like...
Maybe it was them. Maybe they lived here long enough that they knew that they had to live with each other.
The groups that lived here was Mexicans, Hungarians, Bulgarians, Macedonians, Armenians. Is there another one, or is that it?
As far as I know, a few Italians. Maybe.
Italians. So, those groups normally don't all associate together. Maybe when everyone first kind of got here.
Yeah, I'm sure they, I know they didn't. I know my dad would always speak of that.
And then after a couple of years, a few years together, they just were all together.
Yeah, like I said, he would go play cards with the Armenians in their club. You know.
Did the Mexicans have their place to hang out, or?
Yeah, we call it Mexican Honorary Commission. It's been a club since 1926. My father was a charter member of that club. He was a treasurer at one time of that club. Him and five other guys formed that club.
Well, where is this located?
It's on Spruce Street, 1801 Spruce.
So just a block over.
Block over.
What would this club do?
We socialize and try to keep the Mexican heritage going. We have dances and fiestas and celebrate a lot of things, you know, in the Mexican tradition.
Now, are there